Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org.
Let's try again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Today, the U.S., India, the European Union, and Brazil begin meetings in New Delhi aimed at saving talks on global trade. This will be the first gathering of trade ministers from the G4 nations since the Doha talks collapsed last July. That's when Washington refused to give ground on cutting subsidies for farmers. The stakes are high because the president's trade promotion authority will expire at the end of June. But U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab is returning to the table with a mango icebreaker, Miranda Kennedy reports.
India is one of the world's largest producers of mangoes. Until now, they've all been eaten domestically. For years, the U.S. has refused to import them because they didn't meet sanitary conditions. Last year, President Bush promised to change that. And now, the U.S. is sharing the cost of irradiating the fruits to rid them of pests. Assistant Trade Rep Doug Hartwick says the movement on mangoes is an important first.
Because India has increasingly awakened to the opportunities in international trade just in agriculture. It exports actually precious little in agriculture. But increasingly there are areas that the Indian merchants are beginning to realize they actually can be competitive.
By allowing mangoes to be imported, the U.S. is giving India what it wants, greater access to the American market. For its part, India recently relaxed its import duties to allow Harley-Davidson to sell motorcycles here. In Mumbai, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
NASDAQ is in talks to buy the Philadelphia Stock Exchange. If successful, it would give NASDAQ a boost in the options trading business. Analysts say the pressure is on NASDAQ to make a deal after its recent failure to buy the London Stock Exchange. Speaking of exchanges, Asian markets mostly up this morning. South Korea rose 1.2%. In Tokyo, the Nikkei edged up just 5 points. On Wall Street, stocks closed mostly higher yesterday. The Dow continuing its roll, it added 4 points to 12,575. The Nasdaq climbed 8 points to 2,477. And the S&P tacked on 3 points. It's at 1,448. Right now, the price of oil is just under $62 a barrel. Hurricane forecasters are warning that 2007 looks like a very active year, but the nation's insurance industry is still coping with more than $80 billion in property losses from the 2004 and 2005 seasons. Some insurance companies are pulling out of coastal areas and forcing states to fill in the gap. From Washington, John Dimsdale says Congress will weigh in on the problem today.
To shield their taxpayers from potential liability, states in Hurricane Alley are asking for a national catastrophe fund. But Robert Hartwig with the Insurance Information Institute will warn senators today that government meddling could make things worse.
Regulators have systematically held down rates to a point where insurers can't charge a premium that is commensurate with the risk they're being asked to assume.
But insurance companies shouldn't be allowed to plead poverty, says Bob Hunter with the Consumer Federation of America.
In 2004, with the hurricanes in Florida, they set a record profit. In 2005, another record, even with Katrina. And in 2006, without hurricanes, a huge record.
Congressional efforts to set up a federal backstop for hurricane funds usually run into a wall of opposition from lawmakers representing interior states. Why, they ask, should their constituents have to cover people who live in hurricane-prone areas? In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
Tomorrow kicks off what's been called the Cannes of documentary film festivals. The Full Frame Festival in Durham, North Carolina, will show more than 100 new documentary films. In recent years, there have been more movies with heavy-hitting social or environmental messages. It's due to a growing trend, investors with deep pockets known as philanthropists. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton has more.
The film War Dance isn't the kind of project Hollywood executives get into bidding wars over. It's a documentary about child soldiers in Uganda regaining their adolescence through an African dance-off. But former Nickelodeon president Albie Hecht, who funded the film, says he wasn't in it for the fame and fortune.
This was a way now to be giving back to the world community.
Hecht, who was responsible for bringing hits like SpongeBob SquarePants to Nickelodeon, learned about African war refugees after leaving the corporate world. That's when he decided to use his influence and money to affect change.
I spent about 6 months sort of, I guess, walking in the desert looking for my next vision quest. And I knew that in doing that, part of it really wanted to make the pro-social part of my life a more consistent and formal part of it.
Hecht created a nonprofit production company called Shine Global. All the profits will be funneled back into social programs in Africa. He's part of a growing number of deep-pocketed media and dot-com executives who are pushing for change by funding documentary films. Take Al Gore's Oscar-winning Inconvenient Truth. That was the brainchild of Participant Productions, which is bankrolled by eBay co-founder Jeff Skoll. USC film professor Mark Harris says these so-called philanthropists are changing the business model for documentary filmmaking.
Philanthropists are more interested in the content of the film, the message of the film. Studios are more interested in the bottom line, the profit the film makes.
Brave New Films president Robert Greenwald, whose roster includes Outfoxed and Iraq for Sale, says by not chasing big profits, he's able to tackle more controversial subjects.
It's not a way to monetize, but it is a way if your goal is changing hearts and minds.
And if the film becomes a box office hit like Inconvenient Truth, all the better. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
We have a link to the War Dance trailer on our website. That's marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.